More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, just kidding. Is your kid's behavior a mystery you can't quite solve? Well, we're on the case with faithful, effective tips to help you succeed. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, just kidding. We're talking about kids and kids' behavior in particular. And if your kid's behavior is a mystery you can't quite solve, we are on the case with the faithful, effective tips you need to succeed. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So, are you frustrated with your child's behavior? Maybe you're struggling to help a toddler or a little one handle tantrums. None of us can stand those, right?
Not a lot of fun,
crazy.
Really.
No. Or maybe you're dealing with a school-age child and helping them follow through with chores or homework. Or dealing with a teen who's pushing back against your rules, your faith, your values. Maybe you'd like help with your child developing a deeper faith or a relationship with the Lord, or you'd like ideas for building a peaceful, loving family life. It's because sometimes it feels like you're anything from that mark. Well, let us help you solve the mystery of raising great and godly kids today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I have to say, I think the hardest thing for me to learn, to have learned about parenting, and it's funny because, you know, I know this because I went to school for it.
Yeah, for many, many years, yeah.
Is that you can't discipline kids the same way at each stage.
And the stages change, like, minute by minute.
Well, and they do. And I, you know, one of the most common problems that I think I run into when I'm working with parents is that they miss some of those transitions.
Oh, yeah.
And because of that, you know, they end up parenting either a child who is too young for the approaches that they're using, or they found approaches that worked when their kids were little, and they continue doing them as their kids get older, and then they work less and less, and in fact, often alienate or frustrate the kid.
Yeah,
which then causes them to be frustrated too.
Yeah, it causes them to rebel. I've actually seen people who sometimes try to use the same parenting style with adult kids as they did with little.
Sure.
So that kind of like, I am the parent, I did everything for you. Don't you know how much I gave for you? And now that you're my adult child, maybe even the parent of my grandchildren, I just expect you to fall in line the way I expected you to fall in line when you were 5 or 6. And it does not work.
Well, and the opposite way is true as well. So, for example, when children are, say, toddlers or early childhood, and they don't have a lot of capacity for regulating themselves, getting themselves calmed down, you know, a lot of times, you know, I mean, the right thing to do there is what you call time in. You bring the child to you. You kind of hold their body close to your body so that, you know, your respiration, your heart rate can help reset them.
Right.
As they get a little older, though, 6, 7, older, you need to be able to give the child more and more responsibility for helping, for managing their own emotional reactions. And you have to teach how to do that.
Can we just underline that a minute?
Yeah.
Because some people, I do not want anyone who is listening to this here, well, around 6 and 7, they have to take more responsibility for their actions.
Move them out of the house.
Or just, you know, go into timeout and work it out for yourself.
Yeah.
This is a skill that must be taught little by little. And you teach them, but you also get their input in that, saying, well, what can you do differently in this situation? How do you think you can handle it? It's not a jump, like, over a horse fence. It's really working a little bit at a time.
But if you don't find a way to give that child more responsibility for their own emotions, and you kind of continue to be the parent who is focusing on what can I do to calm them down, you actually end up raising a child who has very little self-control and even little remorse, because they don't know how to handle their own emotional stuff. So, you know, as we were saying, you know, every different stage of childhood development requires a little bit of a different approach when it comes to parenting. And so we want to help you navigate all those challenges today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Today's show, Just Kidding, as we talk about kid behavior. And if your kid's behavior is a little mystery that you can't quite solve, we're on the case with faithful, effective tips. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might reasonably ask, you know, how could some theology possibly help me deal with parenting? And of course, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, what does it mean for the Catholic person to thrive? What does it mean for Catholics to have truly healthy, holy relationships that can bear witness to the love that comes from God's heart? And so that we can show the world that the Church has the answer to the question that everybody has, which is, how can I find a love that's really lasting and free and total and faithful and fruitful? His answer to those questions became what we now call the theology of the body.
And all of the theology of the body can be applied to family life. It reminds us that family life is at the very heart of building the kingdom of God. It's tempting to think discipline is just about stopping that bad behavior, a constant, exhausting battle to keep the chaos at bay. But the theology of the body gives us a richer and more hopeful picture than that. Our real mission as parents isn't just putting out emotional or behavioral fires all day. It's turning our homes into schools of love and virtue, where our kids can learn to meet their needs, express their feelings appropriately, and love the people around them in healthy and holy ways.
Yeah, so Catholic parents are called to think of parenting as a process of discipleship. You know, our mission isn't just to focus on controlling bad behavior. It's to teach our kids to know and love and serve God with all their hearts and live out that love in all their relationships. You know, God wants every person, even the smallest child, to be able to do their part to build healthy, holy relationships with Him and everybody in their lives. So every time we guide our kids to love well, to handle their big feelings, to speak kindly, to work out a problem, or make hard choices, we're teaching them not just to behave, but to live their faith in their daily lives.
So we have to remember that the theology of the body really teaches us that we're not wardens just keeping inmates in line. We're mentors and guides, showing kids what living a Christian life actually looks like through our teaching and our example and through consistent practice in our homes, our domestic churches.
So, where to start? Well, instead of punishing bad behavior in the hopes that we can make a child feel bad enough that good behavior will spontaneously start erupting.
Which won't ever happen anyway.
No, what we need to do is follow the example of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and teach our kids step by step how to express their feelings and meet their needs respectfully, how to love and serve others generously. And we do that by identifying the God-given need or intention behind the frustrating behaviors that kids will sometimes display, and then help them find healthy, virtuous ways to meet those needs or intentions. That way, they understand how a Christian person can honor the needs and feelings that God has placed on their heart while still being generous and considerate of the needs of others. So let's talk it out today on More to Life. Let us help you do the ministry of parenting and be more effective in discipling your kids at whatever age and stage they're at. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877 573-7825. Let's take our concern to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
Father
and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring you our children at every age and stage, and we ask you to help us be parents after your own heart. Help us to model the virtues that we would like our children to live in their own lives. Most importantly, help us to teach our children to love you, to know you, and to serve you, and to bear your love, or bring your love to all their relationships and the ways that they treat others. Help us to not get caught up in the idea that we just have to corral our kids or make them behave, but help us to really invest the time and the energy that it takes to form their hearts and to disciple them into being true followers of you in everything they do. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, just kidding, as we talk about kids' behavior, and if your kids' behavior is a mystery that you can't quite solve, we're on the case with faithful, effective tips to help you succeed. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Terry, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi. We have a 2-year-old grandson that attends daycare. And for some reason or another, he has this thing of he likes to hit or scratch or punch.
Okay.
Children. Or sometimes he'll push. And I don't know if he knows what he's doing because he won't do it at home or if, you know,
okay, that's important information.
Or they, you know, he goes like to the children's museum and he's with other children. He won't do it there, but he'll do it at the daycare. And so we're kind of like, we don't know what to do.
And I'm assuming the daycare provider has brought this to your attention. And Terry, I when you say I don't think he knows what he's doing, no, he doesn't. You've given a very clear picture of how this is happening and why, when you think about it. When you and his parents are with him, he's regulated, he's calmer, he knows he can trust his adults to help him through things. When he's at daycare and he's feeling like somebody took a toy, like somebody is treating him badly or being a threat to him in some way. So when he's feeling anger or a sense of insecurity or whatever that is, that's where the punching and the scratching are coming from. He's not being mean. He doesn't enjoy it. I can guarantee you that. He's feeling overwhelmed, and he hasn't been taught what to do differently when he's feeling those overwhelming feelings, and that's the difference.
And I want to be clear, too, that even though this behavior is inappropriate and concerning, it's not sinful. Because
I'm glad you said that.
You know, in order for us to commit a sin, we have to be able to connect actions and consequences. And at two, they really can't do that. And so, you know, what's happening is exactly what you were saying.
It's a reaction.
When he's with mom and dad and grandparents, you know, and he's feeling safe and he's feeling cared for and feeling attended to, you know, he's getting the support and encouragement that he needs to succeed. In the daycare environment, not only is he being, I think, stimulated a little bit more.
There's a lot of sensory input at daycare, a lot of noise, a lot of lights, a lot of stuff going on.
And being put in situations that he can't necessarily handle between himself and other kids, I suspect that he's not getting the level of supervision and support that the kids really need to be able to get along with each other. I don't know what's happening, and I don't mean to cast aspersions or anything.
Right.
But I will say that you know, the behavior indicates that this that the children in general, I think him in particular, but the kids in general, need more support in knowing how to deal with each other effectively, like when he's with you. Now, what can you do about it? You can get feedback from the teacher. to understand kind of what are the situations where he's inclined to hit, and you can begin practicing those situations with him at home where you're role-playing those different scenarios. I would say that he's not quite old enough to be able to retain that unless you've done it about 1,000 times, but it's important to at least begin the practice and give him the opportunity.
And this isn't about just practicing you saying, don't hit, don't scratch, over and over and over again. It's about practicing the alternatives. So he gets really angry that somebody came and took a toy that he was holding or he wanted. You talk through this with him, and then you play out the scenario. He has a toy. You let him know you're going to pretend to be a kid that would take it away. And you teach him language like, that was my turn. I need a turn right now. Can I have a turn with something? Those moments of giving him the alternative words that will really help him get his need met and feel more empowered, and practicing those words so when it happens, he can have those in his arsenal, and also letting the teacher know, this is how we're trying to handle this. These are the words we're using. Can you back us up on
this? Well, and granted, I mean, at his age, he doesn't have a whole lot of words. But
not
you
a
give
lot.
Him, you know, please, or you...
A turn.
May I? You know, those just little phrases that allow him to indicate his frustration politely. But yes, as far as the teacher goes, I would ask, instead of the teacher kind of saying, well, you know, your child hits... I would ask the teacher, well, how are you handling that? Can you help me understand, like, how are you, you know, giving him support? Not in a blaming way, but in a genuine, like, walk me through how you handle this.
We want to try to work with you.
And then you can share what we talked about here with the rehearsing and making sure that, you know, that somebody's actually attending. Because children this age, and this is not just for butt daycare, we get calls from parents all the time.
Sure.
Who will say, well, I let the 5-year-old and the 2-year-old go play in the other room while I tried to make a meal or, you know, clean up something, and then, you know, and in 30 seconds I had to run back in there. Kids that young can't really navigate anything by themselves. They need constant oversight by the grown-ups around. So that's why I'm saying that I'm concerned that at the daycare that they're not getting the level of supervision that they really need.
Yeah, so you really want to take a look at that. And I know childcare is very hard to find right now. It's also very hard to find affordable childcare. But if this child's parents are in the place to look around and say, you know what, the ratio of, you know, caregiver to child is not great in order to really make sure that everybody's A, safe, and B, kind of emotionally regulated, maybe looking around for alternatives in terms of care. But don't jump to that right away. This can be a place right now where can help him learn those basic words and really work with the child care provider to see what they're doing and how you can work more effectively with each other. If this doesn't stop, if he escalates more, that's when you really do want to make sure you find a place where he's more comfortable.
But start here. And if there's more that we can suggest, don't hesitate to call in with any additional questions. Since you're talking about your grandchild, if you'd like to download the podcast and play this for for the child's parents, your kids, don't hesitate to do that. And if you have follow-up questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. Or this is the kind of thing we deal with every day on the Catholic HOM app.
Yes.
It stands for Households on Mission. It's an app. You can get it wherever you get your apps, and we provide daily parent coaching and tons of creative resources to help you build a strong, loving, caring, connected family that really is a dynamic domestic church. So check it out.
And we have a grandparenting channel on there, and also you can suggest that your grandchild's parents download it themselves, because that way they have access to help all the time.
That's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission. Get it wherever you get your apps. Get the parent coaching and resources you need to build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. Terry, thank you again for the call, and we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show titled, Just Kidding, as we talk about kid behaviors. And if you're dealing with a kid situation that's a little bit of a mystery and you can't quite solve it, we are on the case to help you with the faithful, effective tips you need. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your questions, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who'll be sharing some insights from the Theology of the Body on how parents can more effectively do our ministry of parenting. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. He once declared, "It was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels." He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, just kidding, as we talk about parenting and kid behaviors and those times when we're just having a hard time getting our kids to be where we want them to be and who we want them to be. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning to you both. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And you wanted to share some insights from, from St. Zelie Martin, the mother of St. Therese.
Yes, there are some real treasures in the letters of St. Zelie to St. Louis, and some of the letters of St. Zelie to her friends at the time she's raising all these little girls, the Martin girls. And I think this will be a great comfort to your listeners this morning who maybe are raising toddlers and little ones and losing their minds and thinking, wow, the saints were so perfect. They just were in the zone all the time. Here's a letter, number 147, from St. Zelie to a friend about raising the future doctor of the church, St. Therese, when she was 3 years old. "I have to correct this poor baby who goes into a terrible rage when things don't go as she'd like. She rolls around on the floor like a desperate person believing all is lost." And she goes on and says, "If this is the day so far, I shall be dead by evening." Really?
Oh, how many of us have said that to a friend?
Even parenting a saint is hard work.
We have to remember, it's not just parenting a saint. Zelie became a saint. So this is a check off the box in two categories, mother and child. And yet this is so reflective of something I think every mother has said to a husband, a best friend, God himself, "If this goes on this way, I shall be dead by dinner." Yes, it's a lot.
Dead by evening.
So give us your reflections on this.
Yes, my reflection is that we need to reconcile with the fact that John Paul II would call this phase of our lives historical man. We are fallen yet redeemed. That means every family is a hot mess. I call it like the family is the saint making machine. And we don't want to have this gilded idealistic vision where everything's like a kind of a holy library where everything's in its proper place all the time. It's a gymnasium, so to speak. It's a holy gymnasium. And if the saints are going through this and vocalizing it in their letters and in their prayers to God, we should relax a wee bit as well. and just invite the Lord constantly into our hot mess that he can make.
Well, you know, I want to highlight something that you're saying here, you know, the idea that family life is often a hot mess. And, you know, a lot of what we consider Catholic spirituality is drawn from the more monastic and clerical traditions in the church. And so we often feel, you know, like as parents and, you know, with small children especially, that we're somehow second-class citizens in the church, right? Because a lot of that spirituality doesn't seem to fit in our homes. But, you know, you're pointing to the fact that, you know, for Catholic families, our primary spirituality isn't about escaping our family life, but it's inviting Christ into our family life, inviting Christ into that tantrum, inviting Christ into that frustration, inviting Christ into this moment, so that it's a more incarnational approach to spirituality as opposed to a more monastic approach where we're withdrawing from these kinds of things. But it's no less a saint-making machine, as you say.
Yes, exactly. And I think this is so important, Dr. Greg and Lisa, to talk about this right now, because we still get stuck, good, devout Catholics trying to do the right thing and live well. We still get stuck in that, well, I'm just married. Or we think we have to have the sort of clarity of the monastic bell ringing every whatever hour. We have monastic bells, but they're very irregular in their ringing. They're ringing every 30 seconds.
Every 30 seconds or unplanned ways. Yeah.
Yeah, and just adapting to that. I think this is also the genius of John Paul II, who wanted to be known as the Pope of the Family, that he would highlight how the domestic church can just as well be, even more powerfully, easily, if we open to it, be the school of sanctity. And thank God John Paul II has shed so much light and canonized so many married couples, I think more than any other pope in history of the church.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for being with us. If folks would like to learn more about the good work of the Theology of the Body Institute, where can they turn?
Bring your family to tobinstitute.org. We're happy to serve.
tobinstitute.org. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825, talking about parenting. And if your kid's behavior is driving you a little crazy, you're not quite sure how to handle it, let's help you find those faithful, effective tools you need. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
What is the most spontaneous form of prayer? The Catholic Catechism says it is the prayer of petition. Through prayer of petition, we express our awareness of our true relationship with God. We are not creatures of our own making. We did not begin ourselves, nor will we end ourselves. We are not the masters of adversity. We are sinners who know we have turned away from God. Our prayer of petition is already a turning back to Him. In the risen Christ, the Church's petition is buoyed by hope. The first movement in the prayer of petition is asking for forgiveness. That is, says the Catechism, a prerequisite for pure and righteous prayer. In the hierarchy of petitions, we pray for the kingdom, then what is necessary to welcome and cooperate with its coming. When we share in God's saving love, we understand that every need can become the object of petition. Christ is glorified by what we ask the Father in His name. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever feel like everybody else gets clear direction from God and you just get static? You pray, you wait, and the answer never comes the way you expected. Here's the good news. God isn't hiding His will from you. In my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, I show that God is always drawing us toward three things: a more meaningful life, more intimate relationships, and growth in the virtues that help us become the person He made us to be. Those three signs are like the rumble strips on the side of the highway. You might not always see the road clearly, but you can feel it the moment you start to drift. When you're facing a decision, stop asking, "Why won't God just tell me what to do?" Instead, prayerfully reflect on which choices lead you toward more meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. That's how you tune into what He's already saying. To discover more ways to hear God in your everyday life, check out The Life God Wants You to Have, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, just kidding. We're talking about kids and behavior in particular and parenting in general. We want to help you get the tools you need, not just to corral your kids, but actually to raise them to love the Lord and serve God and be great people. It's a big job. We're going to help you do it. 877-573-7825. Call up and tell us, are you frustrated by your kids' behavior, whether that's handling a toddler's tantrums or a little one's big emotions, a school-age kid following through with chores or homework, or dealing with a teen who's pushing back against your faith or values or rules? We want to help you manage all that and more. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next question, we want to spotlight two great EWTN radio affiliates celebrating an anniversary. St. Rose Radio, serving Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and Portsmouth, Ohio, for 10 years.
And Divine Mercy Radio, serving Moreland, Wyoming, for 12 years. Congratulations to Richard Richard at St. Rose Radio and Father Bryce Lundgren at Divine Mercy Radio from all of us here at EWTN. Wherever you are listening to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars, too. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep doing what we love best, which is supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And again, congratulations to Richard Richard at St. Rose Radio and Father Bryce Lundgren at Divine Mercy Radio. Thanks for all you do to bring Catholic radio to the world, and thanks to all of you listeners who make EWTN Catholic Radio possible. With that, we're taking your questions at 877-573-7825. We're talking about parenting on our show today, titled Just Kidding. If your kid's behavior is driving you a little crazy, let's talk it out and find graceful, effective ways to manage those difficult situations. 877-573-7825.
Well, I love the fact that now, after Bill Donahue's segment before our break, everybody can say, it's not a horrible thing if my children are driving me crazy, because he was reading from St. Zelie Martin's letters, and she was saying that St. Therese at three had to be corrected so often. She said, if things keep up this way, I shall be dead by evening. And every parent has felt
this
that about their children.
Saint Zelie talking about Saint Therese.
That's right. You know, some of the greatest saints of our time. And to know that every parent goes through those moments. But there's the wonderful experience now of, we have resources, you have EWTN Radio, and you don't have to sit in that feeling of almost despair. You can give us a call with your questions today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, so speaking of the troubles that St. Zelie had with her daughter, St. Therese, it sounds to me like this email we got from Rachel in Michigan is, she's in a similar situation.
Truly. She said, my kids are 4 and 6, and I could really use your help. My youngest screams over everything. A wrong colored cup, a wrong sock, you name it. And I've tried talking her through her feelings, reward charts, consequences. Nothing seems to change anything for more than a day or two. I love her so much, but the tantrums are really driving me crazy. So maybe you're on the road to sainthood here, Rachel. What could I do to help her stop losing it over nothing?
Okay, so number one, as you know, we just sort of shared from Bill Donahue's segment, you know, this is normal. She will grow out of it, but she needs support, and there are things that you can do to help her get through a little bit more quickly.
And let's step back to the Martin life for just a moment here, because you're saying this is normal. However, St. Zelie Martin didn't just say, she'll get over it. She persevered in forming St. Therese and all of her daughters. She persevered in trying to live a virtuous life as the mother and the woman that she was. And she worked to form her children, not just wait for them to grow out of it, because they don't just grow out of it. They have to be taught little by little to have self-control, to get appropriate internal language as the age for that comes about, and that doesn't happen in the toddler years. So we need to understand that, A, Rachel, your feelings are very normal, but B, there's so much we can look at here in order for you to feel more in control yourself and really help your daughter through this.
So I think, you know, going back to some comments we were making at the top of the show, this is an example of what I was talking about, that the children need different kinds of parenting tools at different stages of development. Because things like, you know, talking her through her feelings or reward charts, consequences, she's four. She really can't follow. It's helpful, like you were saying, Lisa, to give her, you know, the right words to express her feelings, mm-hmm. you know, say this instead of that, and then rehearsing that. But just talking her through intellectually how to handle her emotions better isn't going to work. Consequences for her getting upset are just going to make her more upset. It's not going to really teach her anything, because this isn't something she's doing consciously. This is a problem of self-regulation. Kids, as young as four, still can't really get themselves back online. They need our support in calming down. So, you know, what you're talking about here is a kid, I think, in general, who maybe runs a little hotter. And so you the first thing you want to do is try to decrease, if you can, the emotional temperature of the house. And, you know, so making sure that you're having quieter space. It's not just, okay, you know, a free-for-all, go play with whatever. But, you know, you're choosing, for example, helping them choose a particular toy or a particular game to play for a period of time. And then teaching her to put that back and get something else. And having, you know, the lights lower in the house, having quieter music on in the background. So it's not just noisy or the TV's on. And you know, because kids need a quieter environment.
Especially, as you say, a child who runs a little bit hotter probably has more of an attunement to the sensory experiences around her, not overwhelmed by. This is not a negative. Being attuned to your environment is actually a plus when it's developed with parents to be that plus.
But in addition to that, whenever she starts the melting down, again, this is not so much a behavior problem as it is a developmental challenge. And so you're wanting to help her calm down. So you bring her to you, you empathize. So I'm so sorry. You're so upset right now. You know, I'm so angry. I'm so frustrated. Give her the words and say, "Can you say I'm frustrated, or can you say I'm upset, or I'm angry, or I'm sad,
it is." Whatever. That
Give
is.
Her the words. Simple words that she can use. Have her say it when she says, "I'm angry" or "I'm sad." It's like, "I know how sad you are. I'm so sorry that you feel that way. That's really hard. But I'm proud of you." Even before she's done anything. But I'm proud of you because I know that you can do this anyway, or I'm proud of you because I know that you can get through this, or I'm proud of you because I know that we can feel better. And you're sort of building into the idea that you don't have to feel this way forever,
right?
That you can do better, and I will help you get there, right? And so you're bringing her to you, you're calming her down, you're giving her the language to express her feelings, you're empathizing, but then you're redirecting toward what we need to do next.
And let there be a bit of a pause, a real moment of quiet, and that moment can be whatever it is that you begin to see that she is starting to calm down. Maybe you get that kind of experience where she takes that deep breath and you're
that little shudder inside.
Yeah, that little shudder, that little double deep breath kind of thing where you're saying, okay, she's heard me, she feels heard. Now we're just going to sit together and let me just hold her for a beat or two or longer if you need to, but read her body before you get her to start saying those words that you can give her to adjust to.
But this is different from talking her through her feelings.
Very
because
different.
Because a four-year-old really doesn't have a lot of insight, doesn't have a lot of vocabulary. They really are still learning all of that, right? So this is teaching her how to manage her feelings and teaching her how to express those feelings. It's not talking her through them.
It's also making sure that we as parents monitor our emotional regulation through this. Too often we hear the noise of a child tantruming, and this is a true fact, not just infants but toddlers, when they are tantruming, when it goes up to that really high pitched level, scientific fact, it's the same decibel level as standing right next to a jet engine's engine. So of course we react with, this has got to be fixed right away. I have to make this stop now. What we need to do is try to take that deep breath, remind ourselves that this is not an emergency, walk through the steps that we were just talking about, and then not run around and try to fix it. Oh, you're upset that you don't have your yellow cup, but the yellow cup is in the dishwasher. Will the orange cup work? Do you want the red cup or the blue cup? No, 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 no. It's, I realize you're upset about it. Can you say I'm upset? And then say, today's cup is this. Do you want orange juice or do you want water? Moving her on to a different choice, understanding that it's not her favorite in the moment, but letting her know that she has a choice about something she can control, even though she can't control today's cup color. Right, and so that can apply to all of that.
I want the yellow cup. I want the yellow cup. I know you like the yellow cup, honey. I'm so sorry. Today's a blue cup day.
Yeah.
What other colors do you like?
But not even, don't stay on the colors as much as move her on to what's going to be in that cup and give her two choices you can handle.
Right.
Just two. Not everything that's in the refrigerator, all right? So we want to move her on to a different thought process, and that's the same about the clothes and everything else. And I want to go back to something you said, Greg, that is so wise and important, which is taking down the choices, the emotional temperature in the house. So in terms of it's the wrong sock, it's really helpful to sometime the afternoon before, if you're together in the afternoon or early before she's exhausted, plan tomorrow's outfit. Lay it out for her, down to the socks, down to the shoes, down to the underwear choice, and just have it laid out. So this doesn't become a struggle as you're trying to run out the door. You can even pick the color of the cup for the next day. Prior planning brings that emotional temperature down more in the household and won't cut out all the reactions, but it will help cut out many of them.
And if, you know, there's a lot more that we can unpack here, but unfortunately we don't have the time to get into it. So if you want more support or you have other questions, this is the kind of stuff we deal with all day on the Catholic HOM app. Mm-hmm. That stands for Households on Mission, Catholic Home. And we do parent coaching and tons of creative resources and fun activities for your family to really do together to live the faith at home and build that more loving, caring, connected domestic church life. Check it out, Catholic HOM. And thank you again, Rachel, for your question. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. You can also shoot your questions to us via questions@moretoliferadio.com. As we head to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6.
Train the young in the way they should go. Even when they're old, they will not swerve from it.
And I know that this can be a frustrating verse for a lot of folks because, you know, we hear a lot from parents who say, well, I did train them in the way they should go. And I'm not questioning that in any way. But what train means is not tell. There's a difference between telling and teaching that I think a lot of parents miss. We think that if we tell a child what the truth is or tell a child what the right thing to do is, that we've done our bit. That's a little bit like saying, hey, your algebra book's over there, go do it.
Yeah.
You know, you should do your algebra.
Good analogy.
You know, oh, you should be better at algebra than you are. I mean, that's telling a child, but it's not teaching the child. You have to walk through the steps of the thing. So when Proverbs says train the child, it's really talking about walking the child through the steps of the skills, the virtues, the things they need to do so that we're discipling them, not just telling them.
And I have to say that this discipling moves into your relationship with your adult children. If you're just telling your adult children what to do, it's going to put a distance between you. It's going to cause animosity. But if you're walking alongside of them and you're sort of guiding them, being that mentor, letting them know that they can count on you when they have a question or a concern in life. You're going to be praying for them. You're going to be a sounding board for them. That is helpful to keep training them in the way they should go, even in adulthood.
All right, with that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Just Kidding, as we talk about parenting and dealing with challenging kid behaviors at every age and stage. Let's talk it out together. More to Life will continue with your questions right after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show titled Just Kidding, as we talk about parenting and kid behaviors at every age and stage that get under our skin and kind of frustrate us and we're not quite sure how to handle. Let's look at those faithful and effective tools that you need to succeed as a faithful parent. 877-573-7825.
Let's go to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hey, listener, welcome to the show. How can we help you out?
Hi, yes. I have an adult son that is 23. Basically, I'll start with the question because it's a little complicated and you can redirect me as I might get confused. But my question is, what can I do as a step-parent and what my husband can do as biological dad? But my stepson, it has not gone away to college. He's kind of taken classes, works part-time for the last few years, finally got himself an internship, it was supposed to start last August, and it turned out that he had been lying about the internship all along. So he did not go to that internship.
So it didn't exist at all?
It did. He had the whole name and everything of what the internship was. And we sat him down and told him, if you don't get the internship and move out, because he was kind of waffling because he knew he was lying, but we didn't. We said, you will not be able to keep living here unless you start moving on your career goals. And he did not. So my husband changed the rule that he could continue living in the house as long as he did pursue that internship and go to it the next opportunity, which was last February. He did follow through, and we had to kind of chase him out of the house to get him to that internship. But it was extremely stressful. It was fireworks, and I just could not do that again. Even I was so stressed out, I ran away from home a couple times. So he comes back this week from his internship, and
so this internship was away. He's not living at home and doing this internship. He had to go someplace.
Correct. It was out of state.
Okay.
So he's coming back now, and your concern is what exactly?
Well, because he doesn't have, he has the same plan: finish up his degree by taking a few classes and taking working part time. But I just don't trust anything.
What degree is he attempting to pursue? Because I'm trying to assess if taking a few classes will get him where he wants to go.
I'm not really sure, actually. He's not very upfront about it. So it's something in the animation world. And after his internship, he has a little bit more direction, and we're very happy and proud of him for that. He does want to go back to his internship and, you know, try to land a job there with them. But we're worried that in his home environment, it's not going to motivate him.
So what's your goal? What is it that you want to have happen?
I would like him to start being more independent and responsible and not live with us. That was my goal.
What would be the point? That's a good thing.
Yes.
But I guess, but in terms of him being more independent, him not living with you anymore, what do you want to see happen? Like in the way the kind of person that he is, or the choices that he's making. Do you know what I'm saying?
I would love for him to be trustworthy, for him to start thriving in a way that he's not, he's been pilfering from our credit cards, you know, be independent, do his own, take on his own life, be responsible. I know he has it in him. He just has not been pushed enough.
And what kind when you say he's not been pushed enough, so what kind of conversations and do you have with him about this, and how do you guys support him in taking the steps that lead to that?
Yeah, not monetarily, in those steps.
Well, he has been, we've had him pay rent here, but that's not been followed through on 100%. He was incentivized to do different chores around the house, although that was not very strictly structured. I guess what I would love for him to do is just to be a good young man who can say what he means and follow through with it and take on the responsibility. I think young adults are super exciting.
But what I'm hearing, and I apologize for jumping in, just we have about 2.5 minutes, and I want to make sure I have something to share with you before we go. Your intentions are all really good, but what I'm hearing is sort of this implicit: he should just be able to do this.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, whether he should or he shouldn't is kind of beside the point. It's more a matter of is he or isn't he, and what level of support does he need to make it happen. And so, you know, what I'm hearing happening is kind of some lectures on you need to get your stuff together. And then I'm hearing, okay, and if you get your stuff together, then we'll, you know,
pay for this,
we'll support you this way,
or incentivize you.
Or if you don't get your stuff together, there'll be a consequence for that. But that's an example, I think, of what we were talking about earlier, where you're using, you know, strategies that might work with a younger child, with an adult child who that's not going to really work with. What the behavior is saying to me, and take this to prayer, but what the behavior is saying to me is that you got a young man there who's nervous that he can't do it. And so he's dragging his feet, and because he has a cushion, you know, he doesn't have to push himself so much because he's scared, because this animation industry is hard to get into, and it's hard to actually make a living at it sometimes. It takes a lot of work, and it is scary. And so he's going to need you guys to sit down with him and meet regularly. Like, even if you wanted to do chores, it's like, okay, we're gonna meet every day, we're gonna talk about the things that need to happen, and then we're gonna follow it up in the evening, make sure that it actually did, you know, with the plan that he's got about, okay, let's sit down and talk through what kind of a plan you're gonna have for taking classes this semester, what classes are you gonna do, what's the work gonna look like, what, you know, and then meeting with him regularly, every other day, you know, a couple of times a week, where you're sitting down and really coming up with a plan. Now, if he's willing to work with you on that, he can stay with you. If he fights you on that and drags it and he's not, then he might need to go. But the point is, the goal is helping him grow up to be a responsible, motivated young man who has a plan and can do this thing. He doesn't believe in his ability to do it.
And he may not even have those skills. So when we say sitting down with him, it's not sitting down and lecturing him. It's, okay, what does it take? What kind of degree do you need? What kind of classes would you need to be able to work efficiently in this industry? Let's look this up together. Let's really, talk to some schools that could lead you in the right direction, not just apply randomly. You need to sit down and help him through those steps, because somewhere along the line, he's been so busy trying to get through life that nobody really taught him the skills how to do this. And it doesn't just happen just because you hit 23. You need somebody to kind of mentor you through.
Well, and, the saying that you're not even sure about what his degree is, and I understand that, he's not being terribly forthcoming, but what that speaks to is the dynamic between you guys, where there's not that openness and there's not that kind of support. It's just sort of this expectation that he should just be doing this. And as nice as it is to think that, he's not doing it. And so we have to give our kids the level of support they need to succeed. And if they're not willing to accept it, well, then we can say, well, look, if you're not willing to accept this from me, then you're going to have to go figure it out by yourself.
Yep.
But that's what's going to determine whether he can stay there or not, how willing he is to cooperate with you in supporting him to make that plan and get there. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like more support in being a more effective parent, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.